श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नाम आचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरी गोवर्धन की जय। वृंदावन धाम की जय। नवद्वीप धाम की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी महारानी की जय। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Hari Hari Bol, Hari Hari Bol, Hari Hari Bol. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarane. Welcome everybody to our final session of Bhagavad Katha. If I may request, can we light one stick of incense? Is that possible? I need here. So as I told you yesterday, today we're going to delve into Krishna Leela. And we understand that there are three divisions of Krishna Leela. The description of Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam begins with Mathura Leela, then quickly goes to Vraja Gokula Vrindavan Leela, then segues back into Mathura Leela and finishes up in Dvaraka Leela. Tonight, with your permission, I'd like to speak and remember the Mathura Leela, but I need your permission. Is there any objection to hearing Mathura Leela? And I see that my favorite honeymoon couple is about to leave for India. May you have a safe trip. May you enjoy nicely. Don't forget Krishna. And make sure you come back safe and sound. May Krishna bless you and protect you. Jai. Jai, Jai, and Jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, let us first of all discuss the beginning of Krishna Leela, when Mother Earth is crying and she assumes the shape of a cow, because the demigods have that ability to take on different forms. They have much greater powers than me and you. Even though they are also jiva tattva, soul, because of their pious devotional activities, they have been awarded demigod life. So Mother Earth, taking the form of a cow, went to see Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is the most compassionate and tolerant person in the universe. That's one reason why he's been elevated to that post. He's very forgiving. He is the most intelligent. In fact, there is one description of the body of Lord Brahma. He has a body. He has a form. but primarily made of the material element, intelligence. That may be difficult for us to grasp, but our bodies, how much is this water? 70%, something like that, I was told when I was in school. Mostly it's water. So Brahma's body is mostly intelligence. But still, it's a form. It's not some vague concept. He's still a person with senses. So Mother Earth appears to him, crying, telling him, right now, I am overburdened because Kamsa has created a military-industrial complex. And he has made an alliance with all the demons. And they are building up their armies unnecessarily. Mother Earth says, I'm feeling this burden. Please relieve me. Brahma realizes that this is above him, above his pay grade. He takes her, Lord Shiva, and many of the demigods. They go to the shore of the ocean of milk. We studied that. There was that churning, right? The other day we discussed the churning of the ocean of milk. So they went to the ocean of milk, and the standard prayer is called Purusha Sukta, which is a specific glorification of Lord Vishnu. And after offering these prayers, it seems that there was no response. It's like sometimes you're visiting someone, you ring the bell, you're wondering, are they home? Then Brahma heard something in his heart. It was a message from the personality who lives in that ocean of milk, Shwetadweep, the White Island. He is Shirodakashayi Vishnu, the third of the Purusha avatars, an expansion of Mahavishnu. And Shirodakshayi Vishnu's message to Brahma in his heart, the Lord is coming. The Lord himself, the original, my source, my origin, the original God himself is coming. He's well aware of all the atrocities of what's happening on earth. He's well aware. And he wants all of you demigods to assist him. Because that is the function of a demigod. He is Lord Vishnu, Narayan, or Krishna's assistant. Just like in a big office or in a big bureaucracy, there is a president or a leader, and there are many, many, many secretaries and VPs, and everyone has their role to play. So all the demigods are simply servants of Lord Vishnu, Narayan, Krishna. So the Lord said to all the demigods through Brahma, you demigods, expand yourselves. Wow. That's another thing that demigods can do we can't do. Just think, if you could expand yourself. One could do the housework, the other one could get their nails done. Right? The demigods can expand themselves. And they should expand themselves and take birth in this Yadu dynasty, the dynasty which Krishna would appear. Because one of Krishna's forefathers was Yayati. And Yayati had six sons, and the greatest one of them all was this Yadu. And that's another katha I could tell next time, whenever we resume this. The story of Yayati in the ninth canto, very instructive. But Yadu was the son of Yayati, and he did not take his father's old age because he knew he had a role to play as the forefather of Krishna's dynasty, whereas his other brother, Puru, took the curse of old age for his father. So Krishna appears in this Yadu dynasty. And all the demigods were to take birth in the Yadu dynasty to assist the Lord. And then, of course, the next scene, Vasudeva has just married Devaki. Kamsa is like a brother to Devaki. The girl, when she's leaving her father's house for the first time, feels separation. So the brother sometimes accompanies. So Kamsa was driving the chariot for the newly couple, Vasudeva and Devaki, taking them to Mathura. And along the way, there was that omen. Kamsa, you fool! The eighth son of your sister will kill you. Kamsa immediately let go of the chariot, grabbed Devaki by the hair in one hand, pulled the sword in the other, and was about to kill Devaki on the spot. That is a demon. Doesn't think twice about anything if it interferes with their sense gratification. All the great demons in their sampradaya have that quality. Whatever it is, there's no limit. He can do anything sinful if it interferes with their plan, with their sense gratification. Vasudeva quickly starts to preach to Kamsa, just to see if he can stop. Imagine, he's about to kill his wife. So Vasudeva has to think on the feet very quickly. He tries to calm Kamsa down, speaking very nice philosophy based on the law of karma and also on the basis of the king's reputation and so many things that which he thinks will force Kamsa not to kill, but nothing's working. So finally Vasudeva says, okay, if Devaki gives birth to any child, I'll give to you. You can do what you want. That satisfied Kamsa's mind. So he spared the life of Devaki. They go on. And as it turns out, when the first child was born, Vasudeva dutifully brought the first child to come. He kept his promise. That's a devotee. A devotee is someone who does their duty regardless of how painful. And a demon will do anything for their own sense gratification. A devotee, even if it's the most painful thing, the devotee will do the duty. By this time, Kamsa had calmed down. And Kamsa said, I'm not interested in this child. You can take this one back. I'm interested in the eighth, because that's what the omen said, the eighth child. Enter Narad. Narad Muni Bhajaya Vina Radhika Ramana Name. Everyone respects Narad, demons, devotees, rishis, everyone. Kamsa hears from Narad. Narad says, oh, Kamsa, by the way, in your previous life, you were a demon. Your name was Kalanemi, we heard, in the fight. He was one of the demons killed by Vishnu when the demigods and demons fought on that churning of the ocean of milk. right? After Mohini Murti, it was mentioned, Kalanemi. So Narada says, in your previous life, you were a demon, Kalanemi. Lord Vishnu killed you. And guess what? He's coming again to kill you. And Narada said, you know, I wouldn't trust the omen. Any child of Devaki could be the one. When Kamsa heard that, then he killed the sons of Devaki. One, because every year she gave birth, he killed. The seventh child, it appeared that Devaki had a miscarriage. But what had happened, Yogamaya was sent by Krishna to allure the baby from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb, another wife of Vasudev, living in Vrindavan under the protection of Nanda Maharaj. So that's how Balaram is the son of both Devaki and Rohini. Therefore, he has two names, Devaki Nandan, Rohini Nandan. So Balaram grows up in Vrindavan, Gokul. The eighth child appears the night of Janmashtami. He first of all appears, four-handed Narayan, tells Vasudev and Devaki, this is the third time I have appeared as your son. When you were Prishni in Sutapa, I was your son Prishni Garbha. Then when you appeared as Aditi and Kashyapa, I was your son Vamana. And now for the third time, I am coming as your son, Krishna. And then Krishna said, there is a daughter who has just been born to Yashoda. You switch me with her. And Yashoda, when she gave birth, immediately fell asleep and couldn't remember if she had given birth to a boy or a girl. So when when Vasudev carried Krishna as a baby, because after appearing as Narayan, he changed himself to look like a baby. Vasudev, she was asleep. Yashoda was asleep. So Vasudev switched the babies. When Yashoda woke up, not remembering who she gave birth to, saw this beautiful child, Krishna. And for 11 years, Krishna is living as the foster son of Yashoda and Nanda, and they don't know anything about this. And when Kamsa woke up the morning, he heard a baby crying. He saw that it was a girl. He was thinking, what? The omen said boy. Anyway, he tried to kill because it was the eighth child. So Kamsa tried to kill, but the girl slipped out of his hands, appeared in the sky as Durga, and chastised Kamsa, saying, you rascal, the child you're looking for is already born elsewhere. And then she left. So after that, Kamsa was sending out his agents to kill children. He sent demon after demon to Gokula and Vrindavan. But no matter what demon he sent, Krishna killed the demon, starting with Putana. So many demons, one after another, were sent or appeared, and each one Krishna killed. So then, Krishna is performing pastimes in, first of all, Gokula. And at a certain point, Nanda Maharaja's brother, Upananda, convinces everyone, we have to move. There's too many demons coming to kill Krishna. So they take their bullock carts and they move from Gokul to Vrindavan. Because Upananda said, in Vrindavan there is Govardhan Hill, and our cows can graze nicely on Govardhan Hill. So, as Krishna is growing up, 1 year, 2 years, 7 years old, he lifts Govardhan Hill. 8 years old, he does the rasa dance, the age of eight. Then there's one incident where Kamsa sends a bull demon, Arishtasura. And Krishna kills this Arishtasura demon. And after the killing of this Arishtasura demon, Krishna creates one lake, Govinda Kunj, which is all the sacred rivers in the universe. And then Radharani outdoes him and creates Radhakun with the help of all the gopis. The gopis use their bangles and they dig, 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 thousands and thousands. And the water from Krishna's lake merges with Radharani's lake. So this killing of the Arishtasura demon signifies that the Vrindavan Leela is winding up. After this incident, Narada comes to Krishna. And Narada, because he is Trikalagya, Narada can see past, present, and future. Pretty good, huh? You would love to have a stockbroker who could see the future. That stockbroker would have a line coming out from his door for miles and miles and miles. Just give me one tip. So Narada appears before Krishna and says, "My Lord, I'm going to see you do this. I'm going to see you kill this demon. I'm going to..." He goes through the whole rest of Krishna Leela saying, "I can't wait. I'm going to see all these different incidents." Narada is ecstatic. Then Narada goes see Kamsa. Once again, troublemaker. And Narada informs Kamsa, "You know what? The person you've been looking for is Krishna. That's the one you've been looking for. You've been sending all these demons, but it's Krishna that you have been looking for." So Kamsa says, "Okay, I'm going to kill and arrest Vasudeva and Devaki." Narada says, "No, don't do that. Go kill Krishna instead. Don't worry about Vasudeva. Worry about Krishna." So then Kamsa, he calls his... it's not clear, but he calls Akura. So it appears that Akura is somehow or other in connection with Kamsa. But Akura is a pure devotee nonetheless. So Kamsa calls Akura and says, "Akura, I want you to go to Vrindavan. Here's a nice chariot for you. My plan is, I want you to bring Krishna and Balaram here to Mathura. I'm going to kill them." But Akura is thinking, "Oh, this is great. I'm going to go to Vrindavan and I'm going to see Krishna." So in his mind, he's thinking, "Even though I'm going on an evil mission, Krishna will know my heart." So Kamsa reveals the plan to Akura. There'll be the elephant. The elephant will kill Krishna and Balaram. Or there'll be a wrestling match. The wrestlers will kill Krishna and Balaram. You go bring Krishna and Balaram. So Akura is driving the chariot. And on the way, he's simply meditating, "Krishna, when he sees me, he'll call me uncle." Because there was some relationship. There was some blood relationship. And Akura is thinking, "Oh, I'm going to go to Vrindavan. I'm going to see all the residents of Vrindavan." He was just thinking how great it's going to be. Just like sometimes, maybe when you go to India on the plane, you're thinking, "Oh, we're going to see my family friends. I'm going to see my relatives," right? You anticipate what you're going to do when you go. So Akura is anticipating. And he arrives in Vrindavan at sunset. And when he enters Vrindavan, he sees Krishna's footprints. He gets off of his chariot and rolls in the dirt. He rolls. And I must tell you, when I first went to Vrindavan in 1975, I did the same thing. I told, stop. I got off and I rolled in the ground because I had read this story of Akura. So I wanted to also have that ecstasy. First time going to Vrindavan. So when Akura arrives, he meets with Nanda, Yashoda, and he meets Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna and Balaram are very happy to see Akura, their uncle. And Krishna and Balaram ask, what's Kamsa up to these days? And Akura tells Krishna and Balaram of his plan. And Krishna and Balaram laugh. They simply laugh. Krishna says, this Kamsa is the biggest fool hypocrite. He's supposed to be king. He's just a fool. Krishna and Balaram are laughing so hard. And they're only 11 years old at this time. So everyone goes to sleep. The next morning, news has spread. Krishna is leaving Vrindavan. The gopis and many, many, many residents of Vrindavan are having a nervous break. What? Krishna is leaving us? He never left. So there is that heart-wrenching scene. Krishna and Balaram are sitting on the chariot. Akura is trying to go. The gopis, headed by Radharani, are blocking the way. They're not going to let Krishna go from Vrindavan. They love him too much. They're blocking. Krishna, being very, very smart and an excellent talker, says to them, No, don't worry. I'm coming right back. I just have to kill a few demons. And as soon as I'm done, I'll be right back. Don't worry. The gopis knew not to trust. But still, they had to let Krishna go. But Krishna told them, don't worry, I'm coming right back. I just have to kill a few demons. So, the chariot is going, and the gopis just stand there, watching the chariot go down the road. They're motionless. And they wait there until they can see the chariot no more. And then, somehow or other, they continue to live as if half dead. Because their very life and soul has left them. Because for the gopis, Krishna is the only reason they exist. For the gopis, Krishna is their life, their love, the treasure of their life. Without Krishna, they're like walking corpses. There's no reason to live. And they spend the rest of their lives remembering Krishna. Just remembering all the different things that Krishna had. And they simply crying, remembering Krishna. That's coming. That's coming. But to answer your question, Krishna returns, Krishna Kumar, much later. And when he returns, he takes them back to Godhead. Actually, that's a very technical thing. But Krishna returns much later. He spends time with them and then they all go back to Godhead. Whereas another Krishna returns to Dwarka to finish up the pastimes. Okay? Just to answer your question directly. So, on the way, Akrura stops the chariot by the Yamuna to take bath. So Krishna and Balaram go first. They take their bath. When they return, Akrura goes to take his bath. Now when he left to take his bath, Krishna and Balaram were sitting on the chariot. But when Akrura goes to take his bath, he sees Krishna and Balaram have turned into Vishnu and Sheshanag. And he said, wait, I thought I left you on the chariot. But they changed themselves and Vishnu is lying on that serpent bed, Sheshanag. So Akrura offers beautiful prayers glorifying Krishna and Balaram, who have now appeared as Narayan and Shesh. Then that form disappears. Krishna returns to the chariot and there's Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna and Balaram say, so Akrura, did you see something in the Yamuna? Did something happen? Krishna is a great joker. And again, Akrura says, when I have seen you, what else is there to see? So they proceed to Mathura. Now, many of the residents of Vrindavan, not the gopis, but Nanda, Yashoda, the cowherd boys, and many of the cowherd men, also left for Mathura using a shortcut through the woods. So they have arrived in Mathura before Krishna and Balaram. Akrura has taken the chariot road. But the cowherd men, they know these secret ways to get there. So they set up camp. And when Krishna enters Mathura, he first of all meets a washerman. And Krishna and Balaram say to the washerman, hey, what are those clothes? And the washerman says, these clothes belong to the king. Krishna says, we want those clothes. And the washerman says, you had better be careful, young man. This is the king's property. So Krishna got angry. And Krishna gave him a chop block and killed him. Once, long time, when I was a new devotee, I played the part of the washerman in a play in the New York temple. And I hurt myself playing the part of it because I actually fell and I bruised myself. I was overacting. So they killed the washerman and then Krishna and Balaram took some of the clothes, dressed themselves and gave some to their cowherd boyfriends. So they're strolling through the streets of Mathura very elegantly. And then comes this hunchback woman. And she sees Krishna and she goes, oh, you are a very handsome young man. And Krishna says, who are you? She goes, I am Kubja. And I have this sandalwood which I supply to the king. But you know what? I would much rather give it to you, Shyamasundara. So she puts the sandalwood on Krishna. And Krishna is so pleased with her offering, he picks her up, gives her a jerk, and straightens her out. So she's no longer hunchback, and now she's a beautiful young woman. And she snatches Krishna's cloth and says, I would like to satisfy you as only a woman can. And Krishna says, not now. later. I have some business to do. But Kubja is immediately attracted by beautiful Shyama Sundar. Kubja was actually a society girl, if you know what I mean. So Krishna says, not now, but some other time I'll pay you a visit. So they meet up the camp that Nanda Maharaj had set up. And the next morning, there's a big bustling, Mathura is a bustling city. And there is this big, huge bowl. I think it has something to do with Lord Shiva. It was so heavy, nobody could lift it. Even 100 men could not lift it. Krishna comes, easily picks up the bow, strings it, and breaks it. And everyone's like, oh my God. Then, they're trying to enter this one part of the city. There's this huge elephant, Kuvalapida. And the caretaker of this elephant is using the elephant goad and is agitating the elephant, and the elephant is attacking Krishna. So Krishna maneuvers between the elephant and slaps the elephant, and Krishna grabs his trunk and breaks the back of the elephant and kills him. And then, as you know, elephants have those tusks. So Krishna and Balaram take the tusks as their booty. So Kamsa's plans so far are not working. So the wrestling match has been set up. But the night before the wrestling match, Kamsa had very, very bad dreams. And in this dream that Kamsa had, all the signs in the dream told him, you're going to die. Every one of the signs in the dream indicated, you're going to die. So when Kamsa woke up the next morning, he was very, very scared. So Kamsa is sitting on an exalted seat, and the stadium is filled with people from Mathura, the residents of Vrindavan who had come, the cowherd boys. And in the middle of the arena, these two big wrestlers, huge. Mushtika and Chanura, and there were some other wrestlers, but the two main ones, Chanura and Mushtika. And they challenge Krishna and Balaram. We have heard about your exploits, Krishna and Balaram. We want to wrestle with you. And Krishna says, oh, we wrestle, we fight, but just amongst our cowherd boyfriends. We're only little boys. But Chanura and Mushtika, we've heard about you. We think that you are fit. And Krishna is saying that, no, this is not going to be a good match. The people are going to be very unhappy because it's uneven. But Kamsa wants this wrestling match. Now, here comes a significant point in this Leela. Krishna and Balaram were in the middle with the wrestlers. But depending on the person, although they're all seeing the same Krishna, they see differently. Mother Yashoda sees my little child. The cowherd boys see, hey, there's our guy. That's Krishna. He's one of us. The gopis see Cupid. The residents of Mathura who are seeing Krishna for the first time, ooh, who is this wonderful person, Krishna? And Kamsa is seeing So everybody's seeing Krishna, but they're seeing something different. The wrestling match begins. And of course, Krishna and Balaram defeat the two wrestlers easily. And Kamsa now is furious. I want Krishna killed. I want Vasudev killed. I want my father killed. Kamsa's just going mad. Krishna now has had enough of Kamsa. Krishna jumps over the wall, grabs Kamsa, sits on his chest, and punches him and kills Kamsa. And then he drags Kamsa's body all around like a lion, just to show everybody, your stupid king is now dead. And even though other wrestlers and Kamsa's brothers came, Balaram took care of them. Prabhupada said, most likely with that elephant tusk. He wiped out anyone who tried to cause any problem. Kamsa didn't have any sons. He had two wives, but he had no sons. So now everyone is happy. Kamsa is ding dong, Kamsa's dead. Kamsa's dead. Ding dong, evil Kamsa's dead. Now comes a very, very heart-wrenching moment. After 11 years, Vasudev and Devaki are reunited with their child. And it's at this time, it's revealed to Yashoda and Nanda and everybody, actually, he's our son. And Vasudev and Devaki say to Yashoda and Nanda, you are so great. You have taken care of Krishna all these years, even though he wasn't really your son, but you have done such a great job in taking care of our Krishna. And Krishna tells Yashoda and Nanda, I need to spend some time with my real parents. So it was, because remember, Krishna told everybody, I'm just going to kill a few demons, I'm coming back. But, as happens, he's a little entangled now. He can't come right back. So Nanda and Yashoda and everybody in Vrindavan, after some time, has to return. But they return with half their mind, because Krishna now is in Mathura. So even though they had to go back to Vrindavan, only half their mind went. So Krishna and Balaram, especially Krishna, explains at that time the importance of a son and the duty a son has. Krishna explains that a son can never repay the debt he owes the parents. Krishna says this. I sometimes use this incident and I speak on this word, the exact words Krishna used, when I'm asked in certain circumstances. I did this a few years ago. Somebody's son had just graduated high school, was going to go to college. So the parents asked me to come and give some words. So I quoted what Krishna said. How the son can never repay the debt he owes the parents. Because the parents are Adiguru. So that debt can never be repaid. So Krishna says, how does the son repay? He can repay by being a good devotee. That's the best. By being a first-class devotee, that's the best payment. If he can't be a best devotee, he should become a good scholar. a learned man, or become very successful materially. And then Krishna pointed out that the son should take care of the parents in old age. And Krishna says, one who is able to and does not take care of the parents in their old age, very bad. Krishna says, if one is able to take care of the invalid parents but refuses to, that person goes to hell and has to eat his own flesh. So serious, so heavy, this culture, Krishna conscious culture is. So Krishna spends some time with his parents. Then Krishna and Balaram, it's time to go to school. So they go to school in a place, what's it called? Ujjain. Where is Ujjain? So that's where Krishna and Balaram went to the ashram of Sandipani Muni. And the Sandipani Muni taught them 64 days, everything required. And Krishna and Balaram were such good students. In the day, they would learn something. At night, they had it perfected, mastered. So in 64 days, they learned everything they needed to learn. So now it's time for Guru Dakshina. Guru Dakshina means you give some remuneration to the priest, to the teacher, to show your appreciation. So Sandipani Muni's wife, women are so intelligent. She had a consultation with her husband. She said to her husband, hey, these boys are not ordinary. I want special favor. Our son died untimely. You ask Krishna and Balaram to bring our son back from death. So Sandipani Muni requested Krishna and Balaram that our son died in the sea, the ocean. Being a good disciple, Krishna and Balaram dove into the ocean. And there, Krishna discovered a demon in the form of a conch shell. And he killed the demon. But there was no son. So Krishna said to Balaram, oh, we killed this demon needlessly. But that's how Krishna got his conch shell, Panchajanya. That was that demon. So then Krishna said, ah, I know where to look. So Krishna and Balaram went to Yamaloka. We heard about Yamaraj the first night. Krishna went to Yamaraj. Yamaraj knows this is my boss. Oh, boss is here. Fix everything up. So Krishna said to Yamaraj, some time ago, you took my guru's son. I want him back. Yamaraj immediately delivered. So Krishna and Balaram took the boy back. Sandipani Muni, his wife, are so happy. So happy. And so Sandipani Muni blessed Krishna and Balaram. He said, to have disciples like you, there's nothing greater. He said, you are such great disciples. I bless you. That whatever you say will be as eternal as the words of the Vedas. Blessings of Sandipani Muni. After this, Krishna is thinking about his friends back in Vrindavan. He's been gone now for some time. And he's thinking about the residents of Vrindavan, his father and mother, and especially the gopis who love him more than anything. So Uddhava calls his very confidential friend, Uddhav. Uddhav looks just like Krishna. So Krishna wrote a letter. But when he wrote the letter, he was emotional. And it showed in his handwriting that he was very emotional. And Krishna told Uddhava, you delivered this message to the gopis, because I know they're worried about me. So Uddhava arrives, and he meets with Nanda and Yashoda, and all they do is, how is Krishna? What's Krishna doing? All they can do is ask about Krishna. The next morning, the gopis get up from Mangal Arti before sunrise, 1.5 hours before sunrise. When the gopis get up early, they see a chariot and they think, oh, has Akrura come again to cause us trouble? Actually, the gopis cursed Akrura. When Akrura took Krishna and Balaram, the gopis cursed him. Akrura, that's a bogus name. Akrura is supposed to mean the one who is not cruel. But you're the most cruel. You took away our Krishna. We curse you. And that curse happens later. The curse takes effect. Akrura gets implicated in a murder having to do with the shaman Tucka Jewel. So don't offend the gopis. It's not going to be good. So they realized it wasn't Akrura, and then they see it's Uddhava, and they go, whoa, who is this? Who is the fortunate girl to be married with him? He looks just like Krishna. So the gopis meet with Uddhava. And for 2 months, Uddhava tells the gopis different things about Krishna and consoles them. And when he came time to read the letter, he didn't give the gopis the letter. For some reason, he didn't want to show that Krishna was emotional when he wrote the letter. So he read it to them. And Krishna's letter to the gopis was rather philosophical. Krishna was saying, actually, from the philosophical point of view, I'm not separated from you. Why? I'm everywhere. My energies are all pervasive. And if you simply remember that everything you see and touch is my energy, then you won't forget me. And there's no difference between remembering me and me being there present. So Krishna was saying, no need to be unhappy, because your remembrance is as good as my being there. And that is the essence of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. And actually, Lord Chaitanya taught, feelings of separation from Krishna and remembering him is better than meeting Krishna. This may be very difficult to appreciate, but that was one of Lord Chaitanya's special core teachings. It's called Vipralamba Seva. Feeling intense separation from Krishna and remembering him is the highest transcendental ecstasy, according to Lord Chaitanya. After 2 months of spending time with the gopis, hearing from them, instructing them, it was time for Uddhava to return. And upon returning, he composed a prayer. And the basis of his prayer is, these gopis are so exalted. I am nothing compared to them. Uddhava is considered more advanced than the Pandavas. Uddhava was sent by Krishna because Uddhava is high up on the Krishna chain. But Uddhava admitted, I am not as exalted as these gopis. In fact, in my next birth, I want to take birth as a creeper or a bush right outside Vrindavan so that when the gopis walk, the dust of their feet lands on my head. That was Uddhava's prayer. Uddhava returned to Krishna and related everything to him. It seems Krishna was also teaching Uddhava by sending him on this mission. Then Krishna sends, oh, we forgot about Kubja. And we also forgot about Akura. So, when Akura arrived in Mathura, Akura said to Krishna, you got to come to my house. I have to feed you. Krishna said, not now, later. So, after the killing of Kamsa, Krishna does go to Akura's house. Akura feeds him, and Akura is saying, because you have come to my house, my life is perfect. So, is Krishna in your house? Do you feed Krishna every day? Your life is perfect. Prabhupada used to say, if you can get Krishna to eat from your hand once, your life is perfect. And you're offering every day with love and devotion. When you go back to Godhead, put a good word in for me. Okay? So, Krishna, remember, he promised Kubja, didn't he? So one day Krishna, with Uddhava, they go to see Kubja. As I said, she's society girl. So when they go to Kubja's place, Krishna notices that there are pictures which will evoke erotic feelings. And when Krishna comes, Kubja has taken her bath. She has dressed herself most attractively with scents. Krishna immediately takes her by the hand and takes her to her bedroom. Closes the door. Pulls her to him. And she puts his feet on her chest. Putting Krishna's feet on her breasts completely satisfies all her lusty desires to enjoy with Krishna. She had a burning desire to satisfy lusty desires with Krishna. But the result is, as soon as you come in contact with Krishna, all your lusty desires are burnt up. So she took Krishna's feet, put them here, she became completely purified. She was already purified when? When she offered the sandalwood pulp, when he straightened her out, she was already purified. This was the last residual. Now she has taken Krishna's lotus feet, she's completely purified now. Then Krishna leaves. There's no description about what happens to Uddhava, so I can't tell you. So Krishna satisfies Kubja. She's now completely purified. Krishna decides to send Akura on a mission. He sends Akura to Hastinapur because he knows the Pandavas don't have their father. Kunti is by herself, taking care of 5 sons. And there's no husband. And Krishna also knows that Dhritarashtra and company do not have Kunti and the Pandavas' best interest at heart. since Dhritarashtra is blind both materially and transcendentally. He's blind. He's blind in affection for his own sons. He can't really think straight. So Krishna is concerned about the Pandavas, especially Arjuna, because Arjuna and Krishna are very, very close, confidential friends. So he wants Akura to survey the scene. Now, if you remember, how many wives did Kamsa have? Two wives, Asti and Prapti. And there were no sons, right? So, after their husband died, they went back to their father, Jarasandha, another big demon in the state of Magadha. Where is that? In your country, Bihar. So, when Jarasandha hears that Krishna has killed the husband of his two daughters, he's very angry. And he says, I am going to destroy this whole Yadu dynasty. So Jarasandha gathers an army and attacks Mathura. Krishna and Balaram effortlessly destroy Jarasandha's army. They don't kill Jarasandha. Why? Krishna is thinking, if I don't kill Jarasandha, he'll gather another army, and my business here is to take care of all the demons, right? Because Mother Earth came, because there were too many demons. So Krishna says, it's more economical if Kamsa gets a big army of demons, one after the other, I'll take care of them. So 17 times, Jarasandha attacked Krishna. Can you believe it? 17 times. Each time Krishna wiped out his army and left Jarasandha wagging his tail all the way back home. You would think after a couple of times you'd figure it out. You're not going to win. You're not going to... Not Jarasandha. That's the problem with Kshatriyas. Not too bright on the uptake. They're too stubborn. And they always see, because the ministers tell them, it was just your bad luck. Next time you'll get them. That's the men. Not too bright sometimes. Right, ladies? Am I right? So, on the 18th attempt, it just so happened that there was another demon, Kalayavana. And he also was going to attack Mathura at the same time. So Krishna was very concerned. I may not be able to give full protection to the residents of Mathura. They're attacking from two sides. So Krishna created a city in the ocean, Dwaraka. The residents of Vrindavan went to sleep. The residents of Mathura went to sleep. When they woke up, they found themselves in Dwaraka. That's a couple of, maybe a thousand, more than 1,000 miles, right? Right? From Mathura to... Just imagine. You wake up, you go to sleep in Mathura, you wake up in Dwaraka. That's the way to go. I can't wait till they figure that one out. No need for air travel. You just go to sleep. You wake up. Right? Just like you can go on the internet. We could go on right now. We could be in India, right? On the internet. We just got to figure out how you could do that. I'm sure they're thinking about it. Meanwhile, Krishna and Balarama are in Mathura. Kalayavana and Jarasandha are attacking. And this is when Krishna displays the pastime of Ranchorji. Kalayavana is very, very sinful. And he's trying to capture Krishna to fight with him. But Krishna is just fleeing. And Kalayavana is trying to catch up, but he can never catch up to Krishna. The reason he can't catch up to Krishna is because he's too sinful. If you're sinful, you cannot capture Krishna. You have to be pure. Kalayavana is chastised, "Hey, wait here, I want to fight you." Krishna is just ignoring him. He leads him into a cave. When Kalayavana enters the cave, he sees a sleeping man. He thinks that's Krishna pretending to sleep. So he kicks him. But he didn't know who he was kicking. The man opened his eyes and he looked at the person who kicked him and he burnt him to ashes with his glance. Krishna knew who the sleeping man was. He knew not to kick him, even though he couldn't have killed Krishna anyway. But Krishna appeared before this sleeping man, and the sleeping man introduces him. "I am King Muchukunda. I fought on behalf of the demigods when they were fighting the demons. I am a descendant of the Ikshvaku dynasty." That's the dynasty where Lord Ramachandra appeared. Which is very interesting. Muchukunda showed the etiquette. He introduces himself. And I do the same thing. When I call somebody on the phone, I say, "This is Nirantara Das." I don't assume that the person on the phone knows who's speaking. So many times people call me, they assume that I know who it is. And sometimes I say, "Hello, who is speaking?" As if I'm supposed to know everybody's voice. So when I call someone, the first words out of my mouth, "This is Nirantara Das." Just so that they know. So Muchukunda, very, very gentleman, he tells Krishna who he is. That I was fighting on behalf of the demigods. And after the war, the demigods wanted to give me a benediction. I said, "I just want to sleep. Just give me the benediction that I can sleep uninterrupted. And if anybody wakes me up, before I wake up, I want the ability to burn that person to ashes." So he had been sleeping a long time. So Kalayavana was killed. So then Krishna explained who he was. And Muchukunda pretty much surmised that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna blessed him. That in your next birth you will be a good Brahmin. And you will always be in Krishna consciousness. And after that you will be liberated. Muchukunda, when he woke up, he saw, "Oh, it looks like Kali Yuga." So Muchukunda went to the mountains to spend the rest of his life. When Krishna came out of the cave, him and Balaram were fighting Jarasandha, so they went to the top of the mountain. And Kalayavana lit fires all around the mountain in order to kill Krishna and Balaram. This mountain was said to be over 80 miles high. When Krishna and Balaram got to the top, Jarasandha set fires all around. Krishna and Balaram jumped off the mountain and escaped. Jarasandha thought, "I have defeated Krishna," because he was thinking, "I have set the fires." He didn't see them escape. Jarasandha, "Finally, I have won the Super Bowl. I am defeated." The question arises, why did Krishna leave the battlefield? And the answer, Krishna was expecting a letter from Rukmini. So Krishna wanted to be ready. Krishna knew Rukmini was about to petition him. And this signifies the end of the Mathura Leela. Because when Krishna leaves, he goes to Dwaraka. And Rukmini sends a Brahmin with a letter. And that letter says to Krishna, I'm about to be married to Shishupal. But I have heard about you already. And just by hearing about you, I am determined nobody is fit for me to be married except you. And if I can't have you, then I will take birth after birth, even 100 births, until I can be your wife. So when Krishna read Rukmini's letter, he told the Brahmin, yes, I also am interested in this Rukmini, I have heard. So the letter she wrote, she said, you have to come right away. My marriage is tomorrow. And there's a certain time when I will go to the Durga temple. That would be the best time for you to steal me away. And sure enough, the next day, Rukmini was waiting for the Brahmin. At the last moment, she saw the Brahmin. The Brahmin told her, looks good, thumbs up. So she goes to the Durga temple. This is her wedding day. As soon as she comes out of the Durga temple, the marriage is going to begin. When she enters the Durga temple, she prays to Goddess Durga, please make sure that I can get married to Krishna. That was her only thought. So sometimes people ask me, Prabhu, is it okay to worship demigods? I say, yes. Ask the demigods that you get Krishna. That's good. Like Rukmini is doing. So when she comes out of the temple, there's no sign. All of a sudden she sees Krishna on his chariot. He comes right by, puts her on her chariot and drives off. Now, when Rukmini came out of the Durga temple, all these great kshatriyas and princes and kings were sitting on their horses. Rukmini was so beautiful, they all fell off their horses. That's how beautiful Rukmini was. She is the original goddess of fortune. That's beauty. They fell off their horses. Inconceivable. And when Krishna was kidnapping her, nobody stopped him. Guess who was there in the crowd? Jarasandha. Shishupal didn't do anything. What a chump. If you're supposed to marry a girl, Kshatriya, you don't just let somebody kidnap her. That means he's not fit. The person who wanted Rukmini to marry Shishupal was her brother. Everybody else in her family wanted Krishna to marry her. Rukmi, her brother, was the only one. And because his father was affectionate to his son, he relented and said, yes, she can marry Shishupal. But nobody in the family wanted Shishupal. They all wanted Krishna. So Rukmi said, what kind of kshatriyas are you? If you guys aren't going to challenge, I'm going to chase Krishna. So Rukmi went on his chariot and chased Krishna. So Krishna shot a few arrows, took care of his horse, took care of Rukmi's weapons. Finally, Krishna grabbed Rukmi and was about to kill him. Rukmini fell at his feet, pleading to spare the life of his brother. Balaram had just taken care of everybody else that was joining Rukmi. So Krishna decided, all right, I won't kill him. But he took his sword, snipped at his mustache, snipped at his hair, snipped at his clothes, completely humiliated him. When Balaram arrived, Balaram said, Krishna, what are you doing? This is our brother-in-law. can't embarrass him like that. He may be what he is, but now he's our brother-in-law. Rukmini, why are you lamenting? This is Balaram, playing two sides. Rukmini, why are you lamenting for your brother? He's just getting his karma. Don't lament. Then Balaram speaks to Krishna, chastising him. Then he goes back to Rukmini. Rukmini, stop having this false affection for your nonsense brother. Balaram is Adi Guru. He knows how to preach accordingly. Then Krishna, Rukmini, Balaram enter Dwaraka, and there's a big wedding because Rukmini is Krishna's first of only 16,108 wives. And that's the end of Mathura Leela. Was that all right? Jai. Now let's see. Hold everything. Good, good, good. Let's see. We had a total of 15 devotees online. We had Gopal from Los Angeles, Isabella from California, Mike from New Orleans, Padyabali from Tennessee, Roxana from Lima, Peru, a new person, we don't know where from, Kusum, our good friend Batuk Sharma, Mahatma from Alachua, Bhakta Jim from Montreal, and from Denmark, Kurt C. Simonsen. Everybody say Haribol. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivarad Hari. Yasodhanandana Raja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivarad Hari. Yasodhanandana Raja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gobi Janna Vallabha Girivarad Hari. Yasodhanandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I want to thank Pushpa Shekhar Agrawal and their family for this first time Bhagavad Katha that I've ever done. Such 5 days like this. This is a dream come true. So therefore I bless this family that all their good desires are fulfilled and that there is no unhappiness ever in this household. And for those of you who have joined this family, yourself and my left-hand man, Krishna Kumar Das, may Krishna bless you and protect you with long life, healthy wife, life, healthy life, wealthy life, and very, very nice life. And for those of you online, my faithful followers from around the world, I bless you that you become more and more intoxicated with love of Godhead. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The next webcast will be Tuesday night. We will resume our Krishna book reading of the Rasa Leela. Thank you very much. There's no webcast. I don't think they have internet. If they have, that's different, but I'm not counting on it. Anyway, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.